we close the second part, the previous part of this, saying that that God gave signs to Israel to help Israel believe. And we didn't really document that, and I see in my notes I haven't documented it too much. I've got one verse, but I wanted to add in a little bit here before we actually start in what I've got here notes for. And this is going to be Exodus chapter 4. And in it there are several times. It's the first that signs are used for Israel, first that I could find anyway. And it tells why they are used, what they are for. So when you see people imitating signs, you can just revert back in your mind, why were signs created? What is this, you know, how can there be signs today? Anyway, let's get into it. I'm going to read all 31, I think it's 31 verses. I'll try to do it fairly quickly without too much comment because we need to get into the lesson. But, let me just, I don't have it pulled up. Let me find it. I'm going to read the verse that I did have in my notes here first to give you a preview so you know what to listen for in the fourth chapter of Exodus. Here's the verse, and it's posted there. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? That was in Numbers. So going back to Exodus, I just lost my... There it is. It was covered up. The windows, I got too many windows open. All right. Exodus 4, starting with verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, well, the one saying it's a rod would have been Moses. And now it's God saying, cast it on the ground. And he, Moses, cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Hold on just a minute. That's the first three verses. Sorry about my voice. I hope it stays cleared up. All right. We're in Exodus 4. We read through the first three verses, and we're going to see why God invented signs for Israel and what they are for, what they do. Starting in verse 4 now, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. His rod that he was carrying had turned into a serpent, and the Lord said, take it by the tail. And he, Moses, put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So that was the purpose of that sign, to show, so that they might believe, so they would believe what had happened, that the Lord had appeared. Verse 6, And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, God said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And it came to pass, this is verse 8, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. it shall come to pass. Okay. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry ground, dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Hath not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So far so good, huh? Verse 13, and he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with his mouth. I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went, this is verse 18, Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go and return into Egypt, for all the men are dead that sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not. Now this is like a prophecy. It's telling what God will do. He hasn't hardened his heart yet. He waited for Pharaoh to harden his own heart, and then he hardened it, or set it in that status that he was hardened and couldn't turn around. He says, see that thou do all the wonders, those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Important verse there. Listen, this is Exodus 4:22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. So that was what the Lord confronted Moses about there. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Getting near the end here of Exodus 4. Verse 28, And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. Last verse, verse 31, And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped. So in that case, it did work, the signs. But when we get back to the verse that I've got in the notes here, we know from Israel's scriptures that God gave the signs so that Israel would believe God, and we see in Numbers 14:11, And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? So there's, in a nutshell, what the signs are for, to cause Israel to believe. We can see, and I'm going to look through Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 to 18, and it stretches out the description of Israel's fall and diminishing more than the passage does that we looked at last time in Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 12. But they both describe the process and the accompanying events. The verses from Isaiah 8, 19 through 22 prophesy Israel's difficulties, Israel's plight, after God blinds them and casts them away. What's going to happen to them after the year, their years that we read about in Acts, from Acts 7 through Acts 28, years of diminishing. I've got here Acts 8 through 28, so I guess after the fall of Israel, which is in Acts 7, but it's right near the end there. Those true signs ceased or stopped when God blinded and cast away Israel. During this current period, individual Israelites can still come to God, but they can only do so as Paul did, the way Paul did, as a sinner, instead of coming as one that keeps the Mosaic law, or tries, or, you know, patches over when with sacrifices when they fail to keep the law. Paul was the chief of sinners, and that word chief means the first one in, the head of the line. In fact, it's translated first in the next verse, talking about 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. Chief of sinners is in 15, and first, it's translated first, the same word is translated first in 1 Timothy 1:16. That in me first. Paul was the first one into the body of Christ, coming as a bankrupt sinner, nothing to offer except sin, unforgivable sin, in fact, deserving condemnation, but receiving God's saving grace. It's by grace that we're saved, just like Paul. We don't deserve it. God doesn't owe us salvation. That means that God sought Israel, brought them down to our our level, for a Jew to come to God, he must deny any benefit of being born a Jew and come to God with no hope of salvation other than the grace that Christ offers by having died for our sins and risen again for our justification on the third day. Risen on the third day. Excuse me just a minute. After Israel's fall, Christ saved Saul of Tarsus, one of the participants there in Acts 7 of the fall of Israel, saved him by his new pattern of salvation for sinners, by grace, through faith, without works. And then the Holy Spirit gifted some Gospel of Christ believers with signs, which... none of the gospel of the grace of God believers were gifted those signs. Two different dispensings of God's grace with the same saving message, the same saving message in the gospel. It's a different name to the gospel, though, because of the different crowd it was sent to distinguish it. Those gospel of Christ believers back then were given gifts like tongues, to provoke Israel to jealousy, and so to emulate those who had believed the gospel of Christ preached by Paul. I want what they've got. You know, there are benefits to being saved immediately and not having to endure to the end to finally get your sins blotted out. If you endure to the end. The Lord Jesus Christ had saved Paul and inspired him with revelations to preach and to write. Christ sent body of Christ prophets, all orchestrated by God himself. They were gifted to understand all mysteries and all knowledge, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:2. The purpose of those body of Christ prophets was to acknowledge that the things that I, that's Paul speaking, things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And to profess those things that Paul had written. That was the body of Christ's job description, so to speak. And you get that in 1 Corinthians 14:37 and other places. At that time, Christ also sent body of Christ teachers to instruct, to publish, to teach others also, as the... 2 Timothy 2:2 tells them and us to teach the inspired, acknowledged, and professed revelations from Christ to Paul to us. Christ is the source. We follow Christ the way Paul followed Christ. Christ revealed those revelations to Paul, Acts 26:16, and Paul was sent to us, a sent out one, apostello, one of the apostles, the apostle of the Gentiles, but there were others that were called apostles, like Barnabas, Timothy, Silvanus or Silas. Some of those body of Christ teachers that Christ gave at that time were gifted to teach Paul's gospel to foreign-speaking, disbelieving Jews. They were gifted to speak in a different tongue to Jews that didn't believe the gospel, hadn't heard it. They were foreign-speaking, so you couldn't just walk up and tell them. They needed to be told in tongues. Tongues were given at that time. Those gifts for Israel given to the body of Christ ceased, they stopped, when there were no more foreign-speaking apostate Jews that had not heard the new gospel of Christ that was being circulated in the perfect, completed Word of God. When the Word of God was completed, there were no more foreign-speaking apostate Jews that hadn't heard it. Notice the heresies that will be present during Israel's blindness. When you read the verses there in Isaiah 8, prophesying the the heresies that are going to go on when God has declared them not my people. During Israel's current lo am I period, after the true signs given to the body of Christ had ceased, lying wonders would be abundant from the source of lies. Isaiah 8:18 says, "Behold, I and the children the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel." In Israel, not in the body of Christ, in Israel. Christ sent the body of Christ to be a witness to diminishing Israel in that way. These signs and wonders in this verse are in Israel. It was back then in that transition, what's called a transition period. It was a time of change, all right, but it was the ending of Israel's, of God working in the world with Israel, and the beginning of God working in the world through the body of Christ, working to populate the body of Christ in heavenly places. So, the signs and wonders are in Israel by Israel's converted believers in Israel's gospel of the kingdom, kingdom coming out of heaven and being offered at hand back then when shortly after Paul was saved, or at that time, and for roughly a quarter of a century. We have record of the, later on of the gospel, the good news being sent to all people, not just to the Jews and the Greeks in the work, what the Bible calls the work in Habakkuk 1:5 and other places. Let's read on. Starting where we started before, Isaiah 8:18, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." Verse 19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Now, you have to know Israel's scriptures and Israel's law. You have to read back there in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that familiar spirits and wizards are an abomination unto God. They are the furthest thing from God. They are the ones that were leading Israel astray into idolatry and other gods. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 6. "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, and to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." Going to look now at 2 Kings 23, verse 24. "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the works, the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." Well, that must have been a day when they were trying to renovate the temple, and Hilkiah found the missing law, the missing book of the law. They had lost the law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, etc., and the 613, I don't know if it was 613 then, but it was the law. They lost it. He found it somewhere, I guess, hidden behind a wall or something when they were renovating the place. But what a day that would have been. And it's described as a day when they set up new laws, new rules for Israel, and started the Passover again and things like that. But those, that whole, all those things are put in one category, things that God is against. The workers with familiar spirits, wizards, the images, the idols, all the abominations from what were in the land there that Josiah, the youthful king, decided to destroy and follow God as David had done. They're the furthest thing, though, from God. They are the ones that were leading Israel into idolatry. Look at what it says there. And when they shall say unto you, at that point, Isaiah is talking about cast away Israel through the years without God. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter. You can see that going on all the time, that's what the way things are. I mean, they have been. They call it tongues today, but there's no tongues today given by the Holy Spirit. There's no need for it. There was never any additional statement that more tongues would be given that were not for the purposes mentioned in Scripture that we've gone over. I've done a lesson on five types of tongues, but they're, well, one of them is these false tongues that Isaiah talks about. And, well, let's get on here. Israel has been cast away at the end of the book of Acts. And there were some, Paul had written some books, some letters, epistles after Israel had been cast away. And he's no longer courting Israel to come to Christ by the gospel of Christ. He's teaching the gospel of the grace of God, which is the same wording. The content is the same. But he's teaching everybody. He's teaching those people that Israel was against. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them that bless thee, but there were those that didn't bless Israel. There were those, he says, I will curse him that curseth thee. And that's the kind of people that Paul was sent to later on. People like us that didn't have any, a lot of them didn't even know that there was an Israel or didn't care. They had their own gods. They wanted their own parties, etc. Well, let's continue reading in the Isaiah chapter 8 passage. We'll pick up at verse 20. It's still after God had blinded and cast away, lo am I Israel. They were in a lo am I state at that point, not God's people. Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So these people trying to make tongues work today, there's no light in them. According to Isaiah 8, verse 16, which we read earlier, the law still applied to Christ's disciples. Not for justification, but they were still under the law. But here in Isaiah 8, verse 20, we see that apostates will disregard the law and the testimony which were given to be a witness against Israel. Look at Deuteronomy 31:26. It's plain. It's clear. Take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee, against Israel. The law was given to show that Israel couldn't keep the law, couldn't be as righteous as God, needed a Savior. Why is it then that they speak not according to this law and the testimony? It's because there is no light in them. Let's jump to John 11, verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. John 3:20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. It was going on in Jesus' day. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God or made in God. Apostate Israel had been blinded and cast away. And let's read on down through Isaiah 8, 20 through 22 here. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Verse 21, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. And look upward, verse 22, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. That's the plight of Israel from the end of Acts 28, end of Acts period there, until today. They're still away from God, not God's people. These verses, prophecy, they tell of the long darkness that we witness today, that we see going on in the world, that Israel has gone through since their blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. God has cut them off, has cast them away. They are not now God's people. And God said, I will not be their God. Not the nation of Israel's God. Individuals still can come to God on the basis of Paul's gospel, not on the basis of a kingdom that's coming. And I don't want to leave this in a bleak state like this. Let's read that prophecy which is in Hosea 1:9 and go on to verse 10 then. Hosea 1:9 and 10. Then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel, future tense that would be, shall be as the land, as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, unto these same people that were the people of God, and then they became not the people of God, it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So there is, like Paul said in Romans 11, there is a bright future for Israel. Hosea 1:10 prophesies that there is a regathering coming. God himself is going to make all this happen. It hasn't happened by Israel's doing. It hasn't happened by man making, you know, setting up a state of Israel over there. That's not a holy nation. That's not the kingdom of priests. He'll make Israel turn their hearts to the Lord. Israelites today generally have hearts full of pride. Their attitude is, we're Jews. We don't need a savior. We've got our God. Israel is ignoring the facts of Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. The unforgivable sin that the Lord laid out for Israel. They're ignoring Acts 7 and Acts 28, where Israel fell and then was cast away in Acts 28. Christ foretold what Israel's unforgivable sin would be, which would fell Israel and God's people. God's people, Israel. Of course, God didn't leave the world without a way to come to him, a way to be saved. He saved Paul, sealed him, sent him. And just like us today that are saved, seated in heavenly places. Today, our spirits are. Today, Israel, though, is in between Hosea 1:9, being not God's people, and not yet to Hosea 1:10, where God brings them back. They're, Lo am I, you are not God's people, and they are not yet, again, the sons of the living God. We're in the body of Christ, and not in any prophecies. We enjoy God's provision of grace, gracious provision of saving us, of salvation, quickening us, bringing us to life. We're not in Hosea 1, 9 or 10, but if the body of Christ were in Israel's prophecies, that's where we would be. We'd be in between there. You know, we're just not prophesied. It's an empty, there's no word of the body of Christ in the Old Testament or in any of the prophecies back then. The absence of any reference to the body of Christ between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10 proves that Israel and the body of Christ are different entities, with Israel being in prophecy and the body of Christ not being in prophecy, but only being in the mystery. So, I hope that clarifies some things, and if there are questions about it, we'll seek the answers either today or, you know, ask your questions now. We're done with this lesson, and if you have questions, bring them up, or if you think of them in the future, bring them up then, and we'll tackle them. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. Okay, I see the hand. Come on up. Come on up, Brian.
What most people fail to realize was not a language spoken so much as it was how we hear every man in his own tongue, in our native tongue. Every man that was speaking, they heard their language. And several men together from different countries all heard their native tongue. It ain't this babble crap that they got going on today. And that would have been a miraculous sign. I'm done.
Thanks for that comment. Yeah, I didn't bring that out, I don't think. That's a good point, though. It wasn't what's the scientific method? Something has to be, I'm trying to think of the word, is it reproducible? You couldn't do it again. I mean, it's not something that, well, it was a gift of the Spirit. Gifts. If something is given, it came from God, and you can't just make it happen today without it coming from God. You can't, you know, there's nobody that understands this gibberish that's going on today. And the point of tongues was so that those that didn't understand Hebrew would understand the gospel. Much different, okay? Those are much different things, yeah, the tongues in the Bible from what's going on today. Any other comments? I know we're running a little bit late here. I'll play a song, and if you think of something, bring it up. Otherwise, we'll be closing. And thank you for coming tonight.